might. And so some of the Christians that have been trying to teach on spiritual warfare, it all depends on how much knowledge they have, and it depends on who they are. But actually, your warfare depends on who Jesus is. And you have to always keep that in mind when you're in a battle. It's His might and who He is, and it's how dependent are we on Him? And do we know who He is? And do we know what He can do by us getting in agreement with His Word and agreement with who He is? And the fact that He's still alive and we just walk in relationship with Him, then we can win every battle. Now, I like to talk about the battle back in the Old Testament. I believe it's Chronicles. Could be the around the First Chronicles, around the 20th. And I'm talking from memory, so you may have to go look this up. But whenever he had to go to the front lines to battle, he sent the praisers first. You remember this. And the praisers went and praised the Lord. Praise is a particular part of spiritual warfare. It's a part of warfare that brings what? The anointing of God on the scene, the presence of God on the scene. So when Jehoshaphat went to the front lines with the army, he sent the praisers first. And they did such a good job of praising the Lord that by the time the army came to the front, God had already won the battle for them. And the Bible says 187,000 people were killed in the front lines. And the Bible shows us that the army went into the battlegrounds and took the spoils. And this is an area where all of us in this church, the pastors and all of the people that come to Miracle, have to see this clearly, because we're all looking for some spoils from God, right? We've entered into many battles. And I say, God, it's time for us to get some spoils, right? And the Bible shows that they picked up so much of the enemy's spoils that they took it back with them to their homes. But on the way, they stopped by the sanctuary or the temple or the synagogue, and they took God's tenth in to run the synagogue, and they took the rest home. And some people say, well, you know, I don't believe in the tithe. Well, see, if you don't collect up a tithe in the New Testament, there would be no New Testament churches. If you don't ask people to give, they don't give, you know. And so in order to develop a powerful New Testament church, you have to teach the people to give to God. And, you know, when the the tax collectors came and they said, tell Jesus, tell that man he needs to pay his taxes. He said, go over to the water and take a coin out of the fish's mouth. And that paid his taxes. Sometimes I feel like I have to do that too. How about you, Annette, Pastor Annette? And so the Bible teaches principles of warfare. And without a church and without giving people in the church can't stand before you and teach the word. Our books will not get out in publishing forms because no finances come through the church. So there's principles, and that's a principle, is praising the Lord to bring the power and the presence of the Almighty on the scene. That's why Pastor Dennis and the Spirit of Fire band comes up and sings and begins to praise the Lord for you. They need you to come into that, so that by the time the word comes, you're ready to hear the word of God, so that you can hear what the Lord is saying. So the whole key to this is to be strong in the Lord and in his might. Not in your own might, because he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Isn't that what he said? So he's, and then the other key to that is put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then the next verse says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But this is very important for you to understand these scriptures. Because when you come into spiritual warfare, you're not warring against the people. You're not warring against the church people. You're not warring against those people that we are warring for, the pastors and the churches in Jacksonville on Tuesday, that we can bind up these powers and these principalities over them so that they can hear God speaking to them, so that God can convict them and bring them into the level of spirituality that God would have them to be, right? And so the powers and the principalities are these powers and principalities that are shown here, and they're Satan's powers. And you've got these powers and principalities over the city, that means in the heavenlies, and then these powers and principalities are on the earth, and then these powers and principalities are in the sea. And so as God is leading, we are binding up the powers, the principalities, the rulers, the wicked spirits that are sitting in high places on the earth and in the sea. So we have already taught you, and Pastor Dennis is going to bring me that tape. I didn't have it to make a copy of it. But we've already taught you so far about these powers that God has shown us coming up out of the sea. Y'all all remember that, right? And so what we are warring against here on Tuesdays in our intercession is Satan's trinity. Just like God has a trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, Satan has a trinity. And the trinity that we are warring against is, number one, the spirit of divination over the city. Number two, the Python spirit. Remember, we were warring Tuesday and binding up the Python spirit and the spirit of Leviathan, plus those five centaurian spirits that are standing around the city. And they're standing there. What is a centurion? If you know about Army and Navy, as my brother Pastor Dennis knows, because he was in the Navy, there's an order in the military. And Satan's kingdom is set up quite a bit like the military in our nation. And a centurion is the soldier or the marine or the sailor that is watching over the other people that are in those branches of the army. And you will see the centurion walking back and forth in front of the gate of the base, or walking up back and forth on the deck of a ship. and they are watching over the seas to make sure that the seas are cleared all around their ship, that there's no enemy coming at their ship. There's no submarines down in the water. And they are what I would call them watchers. They're watching over the people that they're responsible for. So these centurions that God showed us, the five centurions, are watchers over the city of Jacksonville. Now, what are they watching over? They are watching over Satan's kingdom. So these three Trinity spirits are the spirit of divination on the ground, the spirit of Python, and the spirit of religion. You see, Satan is very interested in religion because he has an understanding that he's in a warfare and he's after every single soul that he can capture. So he knows the importance of religion. And the importance of religion is that he uses spirits to intervene in churches, and he uses people that he can have influence over in churches. So that's what we're fighting for on Tuesday, is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you were to go into many of the churches in this area, you never hear them pray about these things. They don't pray about the Church of Jesus Christ. They don't do any spiritual warfare. They don't even know there's a warfare going on. But let me tell you who does know. Satan's agents know. If you were to read the book that I wrote, The Witch Doctor and the Man, you would see that their primary jobs were to go in and attack people in the church, to take preachers down through sexual spirits, through women. And as we see in our nation, the devil is using the spirits of Asmodeus, and Osmodeus, Succubus, and Incubus, which are sexual spirits. And he's using those spirits for the purpose of tearing up the church. Now, if you can hit the pastor in a church, you will divide the sheep. How many of you remember when Pastor Holliday got hit and attacked in a church in Atlanta? A lot of our sheep just took off, didn't they? Jesus said, strike the shepherd and you will scatter the sheep, right? And so these spirits that I just named, Asmodeus and Osmodeus, are water spirits. And Incubus and Succubus are water spirits and they're sexual. So the strongest place to hit someone is in the flesh. And I just read you the scripture. For we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, wicked spirits and evil spirits and ruling spirits. And so what we're fighting against are these spirits that have been raised up for the purpose of defeating the church. Now, when these spirits come into the church, they're not only there to attack the pastor and the pastor's wife, but they're there to attack anybody that's open for them to come to them and attack them. So these spirits are known in the Word of God as these spirits. They're known as Abaddon, Abaddon, Apollyon, Apollyon, and Beelzebub. And Abaddon is known as the king of demons. Now, if we're worrying about the church, who's going to be coming in to attack the church? The spirit of Abaddon, right? The spirits of Apollyon. And when you read the Word of God, you find out that these particular spirits come up from the sea. And the spirit of the beast, the spirit of Antichrist is connected to those spirits. And then you can also find in the book of Revelation, there's the spirits of locusts, spirits of frogs, and spirits of scorpions. And these are all water spirits that are shown. I'm working on a little slim-back book to show the water spirits. So I'll do some more teaching on this as I'm finishing up this. But tonight, we're looking at the powers and the principalities of these spirits. Now, Apollyon is the spirit of death and destruction and the king of spirits from hell. And Apollyon comes to kill the church, right? And there are snakes involved in these particular spirits. There's a snake that's called Leviathan, and I'm going to talk about him in just a few moments. But I can tell you that a Leviathan is a spirit that's usually in the head of a person. He likes to work the minds of people. He likes to get a hold to their minds, and he likes to control their flesh. And the python spirit is a spirit that likes to wrap itself around a person. He likes to wrap itself around a business, a church, or a family, or wherever he's working. He will wrap himself around. And you know, a python is a constrictor. And what he does is he begins to tighten his hole. He will snuff the life out of a person. He will snuff their finances out. He will kill a church through constricting itself around the church so that the person has no way to get free unless somebody stronger comes and breaks that python off of them or off of the church or off of the pulpit. And then the Antichrist spirit that is a part of this is a spirit that likes to work in divination, fortune telling, and they like to work in the spirit of false religion. But there is a personality that it likes to work with, and that is Jezebel. Jezebel is a territorial spirit that rules over a whole cities and whole nations. Amen? Now, another spirit that is a snake spirit is the cobra. And we saw that cobra spirit over in Africa, and it works really well with the Hindu spirit, and it works with the Islam spirit. And when this particular spirit manifests itself, the person that it's working through, it's their necks will, we saw it, Pastor Dennis and I saw it in Africa. Their necks will puff out like you've seen those cobras when they get like a hood on them. Their necks will puff out like that. And a cobra loves to spit in the eye of a human, because if he can get his spit into the eye, he can blind a person. And we would see those cobra spirits that were in those Islam people stand back and spit at the people in Africa. Spirits take on the forms of the spirit that they are in the form of, that they manifest like. Like in voodooism, if they work themselves up through frenzies and dances, and the god that they are worshiping, they will fall on the floor, and if they're worshiping the snake god, they will take the form of a snake. I told somebody one time I saw somebody going on the floor like a snake, and when I looked at their eyes, the eyes, you know, snakes have two eyelids, and they have one that closes and looks like a membrane, and then they have another eyelid that comes over that. And I've actually seen that in a person where a snake had taken that person as a possession. And so, let's see, I've given you the next one is the Kundalini snake. And that's a snake that rests down at the base of a person's spine. And that's a snake that attaches itself to that spirit of religion. And we see that snake an awful lot when we're doing a deliverance. There are snakes that go and rest in the belly of a person, snakes that twine themselves around the person's body, around their minds. And Leviathan, I've already told you, is up in the mind. Kundalini is down here in the flesh. And what Jezebel does is she is used for seducing the people. She is used to entice the men. And she's beguiling. And she is codependent. And she operates underneath Leviathan and Python. But she is also a territorial spirit. Now, what she causes, I may go over just a few minutes tonight. What she enforces is the spirit of addictions, the spirits of perversions, seductions, distractions. And she will cause Christians not to be able to concentrate. When they're hearing a teaching, there's something bothering them in their minds, right? And she will also work to keep them from receiving Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And she will keep them from being able to hear and concentrate when an anointed teacher is given the word and books and materials concerning these things. Now, Leviathan, and I may go over just a few minutes and I will quit real soon, but Leviathan, that spirit in the mind, he's like a gatekeeper, and he chooses what you hear and what you do. And you can see this spirit in the book. He's known also as a dragon in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. And he's known as the great red dragon with seven heads. He's a very, very powerful sea serpent. Or we can call him a sea monster. The serpents, I think I've given you three. Here's two more. You've got vipers and adders. And these things like cockatrices. So whenever you are ministering to someone that has these serpents, a cockatrice, are the eggs that they hatch. So you need to ask the Lord to crush their eggs as you're crushing the snakes and casting the snakes out of a person, so that all of the controlling power are going to be broken when you are ministering deliverance to the person, or in our case, we are ministering deliverance over the city. And so we're asking God to break the assignments over the city that have taken and attached themselves to the churches, to some of the pastors. And the Bible shows us that as you bind, whatsoever you shall bind will be bound in heaven and on earth. Whatsoever you shall loose, what happens? It shall be loosed in heaven. Now, who do we see in heaven that is in war with us? We see the commander in chief. We see the great general, the host of heaven, Jesus. So what I want you to see is that as you're in the battle, as you're loosening the powers of this satanic trinity that I've just discussed with you, as you're binding these things and as you're warring to break their powers over whatever it is that you're warring for, you, at the same time, you have a general that is where? He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father in Ephesians chapter 1. He's releasing his power to usward who believe. So it's important for you to have this understanding. When you're saying, I bind the spirits of the powers of the satanic trinity that we've just discussed with you, and I bind the spirit of divination, the spirit of Python, the spirit of religion, the spirit of Antichrist, Apollyon, the spirits of death and destruction, the cobra spirit, the Atler, the viper, the python, the Kundalina snake spirit down here in your spine or in the spine. As you're binding Jezebel and Antichrist and the Ahab spirits, which we did the other day, as we bind the dragon spirits that we discussed, the great red dragon with seven heads, as we're speaking the words in prayer and we're saying, I bind you, you have to see that the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God the Father is backing your words up. He's backing your words up and he's making them happen for you. You're actually taking authority and you say, I bind these spirits, and you bind them and they can't get free. They're locked. They're locked. And then now you've got them bound. What are you going to do with them? You say, I bind these spirits that I just named, and you say, Father, I put these spirits, you can call it a cage or a box, anything you want to, but I'm putting them in a cage, and I'm asking you to send your mighty angels, Father, to take these spirits to the feet of Jesus, to be judged before their time. The word says that we shall judge angels. That's what you're doing. You're judging angels before their time. So the angels take these demons that are bound to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus pronounces judgment on them. And Jesus sends them down into the pit of hell. He's already paid the price to do this. And then you begin to seek him for further information, further revelation. I know Christians that bind the same thing over and over and over, but there are thousands and legions of spirits. We've been attacking the water spirits, and we attacked Python, I think, and Jezebel this last week, and Jezebel is a land spirit. She's over the lands. She takes territories for Satan, and she uses witchcraft for the purpose of capturing her subjects. However, remember that she uses powers and principalities, that's demonic spirits, that she works in conjunction with and to accomplish her goals. So once you get through this information that God showed us, then you have to pray and say, show us some more. What else do we need to see? What else can you show us? Now, this week, he had me to go into my computer, and I'm working on that water spirit thing. I worked on that 3 or 4 years ago. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, go get that out of your computer. I want to show you some things about that. So Tuesday, we'll be doing some things about these water spirits. And I'll be teaching you something about those spirits too. But the thing is if you're going to be warriors in this last hour of time, you cannot hopscotch Christianity. That's what I call it, hopscotch it. One day you come to church, the next day you don't. Or the next day you go over there and you get nothing. They don't know anything to tell you. And then the next day you go over here and you're bopping all around and you think you got the joy of the Lord, when all that's happening is you're patting your flesh. You're not learning how to be a successful warring soldier so that you can be victorious in your life, in your children's life, in your church life, in your city, in your nation. And see, if God doesn't train some people to do some of these things, we're already lost. The country's lost. But just as we had a few people here on Tuesday night where we were warring and binding these powerful devils and we were putting them in the box, and we ask Jesus to take them to his throne, let me tell you, there's a lot of freedom in Jacksonville this week that wasn't in Jacksonville last week. Because I know that when we do that, it happens. The angels arrest them, take them to the feet of Jesus, and then we've got to go on and find out, now that we've done these spirits, what about all of these that are working, you know? And so that's what we're doing, and that's just a quick little teaching on these spirits. The cobra mesmerizes, it hypnotizes, it blinds the minds from spiritual understanding. And the Lord had spoke to me, and he said, the whole city, the whole city is under bewitching spirits. He told me that. I think I told Annette and her husband, David, that probably 2 or 3 months ago when they first came. He said, the whole city's under bewitching spirits. Well, do you think everybody knows they're under bewitching spirits? No, they don't know that. But they are. So if we know it, who is God going to use to deliver the city? The people that are willing to learn and do the warfare. And that's all I'm going to talk to you tonight about. I never get as far as I think I am, but you do have some sort of understanding of what we're doing, don't you? All right.